You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Today is what we call in. Now, granted, I don't know how we, you know, when people are listening to this. We are taping on what's today, August 22nd, Wednesday, August 22nd, which I will always remember as the day after Conviction Tuesday.
What's that like as a white person to have to speak for all white people?
I know. I'm the flag bearer. How does that? I'm an okay one. Right. But anyway.
From 1773 to 1776, I felt I had like a pretty good handle on. And then there is a giant black hole until 1861.
I'm Calvin, and you're listening to Leading Questions with Calvin Moore. This show is an experiment in civility, gathering people who disagree to sit down face to face and having them discuss their disagreements. Do we ever arrive at consensus? Sometimes. What's most important is we've got the conversation started.
Just wanted to say real quick, congratulations on last week's episode.
Sure.
Or a couple weeks ago, I guess it is now. At this point. You put on your big boy shoes,
mm-hmm.
your big boy pants.
There we go.
And you hosted the show all by yourself.
I did. Well, you know, my friend Steve, who was there that week and is here this week, certainly assisted. And thanks to our wonderful panel of guests, to Lisa, who's here this week, was there, and Rick Goldberg was there.
I feel like
and,
what you're doing right now is someone just came up to Michael Jordan and was like, Michael Jordan, 55 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists. How do you feel? Well, it was a team effort. Came together, great coaching. Cool coach.
Yeah. Wait. If I'm Scottie Pippen here, though, I'll take that.
Yeah, Pippen.
Because Scottie Pippen was fantastic.
Yeah, but here's the deal.
Yeah,
I can
dish. I feel like Jordan and you should just take the compliment. Like, Michael Jordan, 55 points, 12
You're
rebounds,
welcome.
12 assists. How'd you do? I'm Jordan.
I did great.
Like, that's how I do.
You know what that reminds me of? This is kind of granular, but have you heard of, you familiar with the name Craig Hodges?
No.
Steve would know. Craig Hodges was a minor Chicago Bull back in the day. Journeyman player.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Will Perdue of young of small
sure.
men.
Sure. Craig Hodges once had a good quote, and he said, you know, are you happy with the way you played today? And he said, well, Michael and I combined for 70 points. Michael had 69.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So you didn't take the bait, and you didn't say, Kent, why are you super happy today?
No, I didn't. So, anyhow.
I'm super happy today, Calvin, because today is what we call in. Now, granted, I don't know how, you know, when people are listening to this. We are taping on, what's today, August
22nd.
Wednesday, August 22nd, which I will always remember as the day after Conviction Tuesday. So I'm thrilled about that. Thrilled to probably an unhealthy degree. I mean, I'm as happy about Conviction Tuesday as the time that a 3-year-old child once tapped me on the knee and looked up at me and says, "I love you." That's the level of excitement that
right.
I've got about Conviction Tuesday.
Awesome. Comparing
yes.
the love of a 3-year-old to lawyers being convicted and possibly leading to a never going to happen impeachment of the sitting president.
No.
Yeah. Hoping. Probably
never going to happen. That's
yeah.
true.
Anyhow. So we can talk about that a little bit on the back end. So it is episode 22. It's August 22nd and it's episode 22 of season 4. We do 22 episode seasons. So this is the season finale.
Because you really like network television from 20
basically,
years ago.
Basically, that's basically what I did. I mean, I could do the Netflix seasons like 13 episodes.
No. 22 episodes is classic.
22 seems good. But we don't take a break. We're not gone for the fall or anything.
Or the HBO seasons of like 10 or 6 depending on
what you're doing. Yeah. So we are concluding this season kind of with a retrospective. So it's season 4 retrospective, and we've invited on a few past guests. I don't know if one of them is going to be able to make it or not, but we have a couple of them here. We've got Talisa Cohen back in studio. Hey, Talisa.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. And then, of course, the voice you already heard is Steve Phelps, who's kind of a de facto host at this point, let's be honest.
Scottie Pippen. Hello.
Scottie Pippen. So who's Kent? Is he Kukoc?
Well, I mean, well, of course, Kukoc Tony Kukoc.
Got there. Kukoc got there for the second trilogy. So I've been here since the beginning.
Okay. He was like the first of his kind. So
okay, all right.
Just he was the first European ever. He was the first white basketball player ever.
I'm sure he was.
Okay.
That seems to be factually correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yes, as long as you don't research it. Go ahead.
Yes. Anything you say on the internet is true. So we are, again, just kind of shoot the shit with some past guests here about this past season. We've had 22 episodes or 21 episodes so far in this season. A few of them wildcard episodes notwithstanding, but we've talked about things like substance abuse. We did a four-week series called How Black Lives Matter. We looked at rape culture, bullying, colorism, outrage. We did a three-week series on being white. I think, Steve, you were here for that. Talisa, you were here for which episodes were you on this season? Because I know you were on a few.
I was on for the pissing kind of that last the pissing contest, I believe.
Yeah, drug testing welfare. Yeah, yeah,
I love 2 weeks ago. Yeah, yeah.
No, okay, those are different podcasts.
Yeah, no,
there was a pissing. What the hell happens while I'm gone, kid?
She got the she got a silver.
Anything for real?
I wasn't place. Supposed to do that part.
She did so well.
So
now I'm shame. So I was on for that one also.
Okay.
And then the other.
I think you're on for some of the Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, as we were talking about,
because we did family, we did
family.
Yeah, we did family, politics and protests, self determination, mm-hmm. faith. So yeah, I just wanted to bring on a few past guests to talk about episodes that they remember being on. What are some of your favorite episodes that you've been on this season?
Well, I'll have to say the topic on shame was one that was one of my favorites. I'm like reading Brené Brown's books, so she's big on shame and belonging, and it happens to be something that I'm kind of doing some inner reflection on myself, dealing with various emotions and feelings. So that would be my favorite.
Okay.
My favorite was the one I hosted that you were on.
That was my second.
Was that
favorite.
Your favorite episode?
Awesome. I'll take second
he
place.
Was pissing as well.
Who won that pissing contest? I don't know.
I think it was Rick.
Yeah. I did. Apparently, I was the only one.
I should let Kent host more often. I should let Kent. Because there was one time this season, the episode on marijuana, where Kent texted me beforehand. And he's like, I don't really have any interest in this topic, and I have nothing really cogent to say.
Oh, that happens way more than you know. But here's the reason.
He deleted some of those texts.
He had something else that came up, right?
It was, I always go to, what do you call it? City of Rochester Hills does fireworks on the last Wednesday in June. And it turns out this year they canceled it, but it still would have conflicted with being here. So I bailed out. Memo, next last Wednesday in June, probably going to cancel.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't. Next? Like next, a year.
Like a year. Okay. 10 months from now.
Like yeah, June 26th.
Remind me when that gets close.
Sure.
Okay, because I don't give a fuck right now.
I'm not putting in notice yet. Okay, yeah.
Future me is concerned about that.
Yeah, I'm present not adding me not that much. That's going to be our most popular
that's
episode
a problem
ever.
For future, Calvin.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be all about
that
Kent Strafe.
Be the great one.
So that episode will be titled, Why Is Kent Not Here?
Yeah.
But yeah, Steve, favorite episodes for you?
I'm probably going to go.
A number of them,
so I was on a couple of them last November and December I liked. We were talking about, I think it was November. I think we were talking about the Constitution, the amendments, I believe it was, right?
Oh, no. See, that's season three.
No, that was last November.
I know. It's still season three.
That's season three?
Yeah.
When did this season start?
Oh, nobody knows.
It's 22 episodes. Well, so every 22 episodes we start.
So what was this season? There was education. I was on for some education.
Yeah, that was season three.
Oh, my gosh. That was like February.
Okay, so here's what we did. We did
Steve hated this season.
Addiction. We did How Black Lives Matter. You weren't on
I was not
of those,
on
obviously.
For that one.
Episode of Rape Culture. Bullying.
I was on for the white stuff.
Is Black Beautiful?
You know what?
Generation Outrage.
Yeah,
being
I was
white.
I was on for the white stuff.
Being white.
Yeah, yeah. Where we sat around the table and we all talked about how white culture doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
We're pale skin and we stole a bunch of stuff.
You were here for the first episode and the last episode of that series.
That is true.
Okay.
That is true. I guess. So I did. I was part of the pissing contest. I did not win. As we said, as we talked about, did win. She was fantastic. Woohoo!
I was going to say before I forget, the theory that white culture does not exist is one that I took from that episode. I thought it was great. You know, that white culture does not exist, that German culture exists and Polish culture exists and, you know, English culture exists.
Did you get turned around?
Culture. So in my somewhat frequent debates with white nationalists slash white supremacists in the Breitbart chat rooms, yeah, I go there. I tried that line about how white culture does not exist. It is surprisingly ineffective.
Oh.
They don't buy it there.
Well, maybe we should rethink our position.
Oh, I know.
All right. So I did like that couple episodes I was on because there was enough different personalities in the room that all kind of came down to that same determination that and the white culture it doesn't really exist. And I thought we had some fairly different people on for that. There were a couple people who I hadn't met before until we started doing those episodes, and I thought we had a diverse enough opinions and we still were coming to the same kind of concept that, unlike the Breitbart rooms, that just because you have a similar color skin doesn't mean you share any kind of culture. And I thought that was really interesting in that there were people who I didn't think that I would necessarily agree with on a lot of things that we kind of came to that same determination. I think Kevin and I, who don't see eye to eye in a lot of political stuff, mm-hmm. we're in complete agreement on that. I thought that it wasn't even that was there was there wasn't really even a disagreement in that. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, what I think is what one person thinks of as common sense does not necessarily equate to actually be common. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a situation where we all kind of came together and realized that, yeah, the white culture is really kind of a weird thing that doesn't, I mean, we talk about it. Maybe the fact that the only thing that white culture has is that they think that there's a white culture. And that's the only thing that's similar.
I think one of my favorite episodes, interestingly enough, was one I didn't really want to do. It was the one about shame, probably because it was more like therapy for me than anything else. But Ursula Adams was a guest on that episode.
I like every time she's on.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
But she had said something to the effect.
Can you say that about me next time?
Yeah.
No. Says about you all day?
Talisa's okay. No.
She pisses like a champ.
So Ursula Adams had said something to the effect of not everyone has earned the right to know who you are fully, right? And I vacillate between being this guy who's radically open with everything that I think and believe, and being completely closed off, right? Because I'm afraid of people's judgment. So, but then I feel like I'm lying. And she's like, not everyone's earned the right to know everything about you. So you shouldn't feel like you're lying. They haven't earned the right to know that. And I was like, that was really freeing for me. It was really interesting. Even though she's not like a licensed counselor or anything like that, it was just, huh, that's very human advice that allows me to be
you.
Yeah, to be me. Obviously, a couple of series. I loved both the How Black Lives Matter series. That all 4 weeks of that was fantastic. And then also the Being White series for me was interesting, not just as something that I could juxtaposition against the How Black Lives Matter series. I thought it was good to have both of those.
I thought it was a joke at first.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, it really came across. I thought it was much more valuable.
That series did come about basically someone threw down the gauntlet and I was like, okay, whatever. Right. Like, oh, you're doing all How Black, basically, why is there no White History Month, right. That kind of deal.
And that was with you at the joke too, right. at first.
And so, yeah, hey, how come there's no series on what it's like to be white in America? It's like, well, we are already know what that's like, but you know what? I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll assume that you're not just throwing that out there to be an asshole, which you are, but I'm gonna call your bluff and we're gonna do a series on that. We're gonna do a 3-week series on that. And it ended up being a really thought-provoking series to be able to see the way that people think. And then also, I think that's one of the few series we've done where we had the same people throughout the series. Like Christina was on all 3 episodes of that, and you were on the first and the third episode. But for Christina to be on the first episode, come back on the second episode and say, I'd like to clarify some things that I said last week because I've really been thinking about it all this week. And then the next week to be able to do the same thing, right? I think that made that particular series, even though I didn't agree with, you know, a good deal of what I heard, I now understand people a little bit better. But that series and the How Black Lives Matter series really epitomized what I want this show to be. Mm-hmm. And that's thought provoking and in a way thought changing.
I think that is interesting though. I think that is what I find most interesting about this show is that some of the things like politics can be kind of, you know, black or white, not race related, but I'm just saying one or the other. But some of the other topics like people's understanding of shame or what matters in a particular culture or if there is a particular culture that exists, like really to open up the conversation and start a dialogue to see what people's what other people think, because we have these preconceived notions. I know for myself, to hear you say like that you and a lot of other white people agree that there is no white culture, I'm like, that's interesting, because, you know, I've always thought that black people were kind of at a disadvantage in that regard, that we don't really all know our history or know some of the rituals and some of the things that we maybe should practice that would make us more community based, where I thought other races, especially like, you know. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I probably speak for many white people in that we're envious.
Speaking for white people.
Speaking for white, if I may, as a white individual.
What's that like as a white person to have to speak for all white people?
I know. I'm the flag bearer. How does that? I'm an okay one. Right. But anyway, I think a lot of white people, including myself, long for some sort of inclusion into a community. We all think we're mutts. Mm-hmm. And I know some of us look at, whether it's black culture or any kind of other ethnic or national group, and say, we're really actually envious that you have a culture, you know, that you can look back and you know where you came from and you know where that person came from. Whereas it feels, I know personally, like, I don't know, you know, I feel, you know, it's so, you know, and I don't know how many, you know, there's a lot of probably white people from the Breitbart room who won't admit that.
Yeah.
But certainly I'm envious of that. Like, you know, and because I've never had a place to look back to, because when I look back just one or two or three generations, it gets really blurry. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, you know, and so that's really made me focus on right now, which is fine. And it's good, because people who don't focus on right now lose who they are right now.
Yeah.
But I think there is a lot of value to know where you came from, too.
Yeah.
And I know personally, at least if I'm not going to speak for everyone, I'm envious of that to a certain degree.
And like, I don't know if I really have that much history to go back to, but I know that that makes me want to connect more in the now, mm-hmm. to start to establish more of a sense of culture and community, because, you know, I feel like that is something that has been lost.
Mm-hmm. Did I ever say on this show, I'm almost certain I said it on this show, but stop me. The most interesting thing about I was thinking about, because Steve said, you know, back a couple generations, it gets really blurry. I think I can put my, if I had it on, if I had to, using family documents, I think I could name all of my great grandparents, which is what, 8 people? Is that 8? Yeah, it's 8 people. But the most interesting thing about my family is that I had a great-great-great-grandfather fighting on each side of the Civil War, and one killed the other one.
Wow.
Did you ever hear that?
Wow.
That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah, so.
All right. You win that pissing contest.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah,
that'd make a great time travel story. It would cause all sorts of problems. So those are favorite episodes that you've been on. What are some...
You know, I was going to say, you know what, and it's not that this, basically like Steve, I have no idea what was season 4, because I'd have to see a list, but one that sticks out to me that I had a good time on, in that we didn't talk very much, was the one where we had the teenage children of our guests. To talk about that was fun.
My daughter was here for that one, and she has been, she's smitten with the Nikki Pardo's son, Vince. She's like, is she was over a couple weekends ago, and she's like, is Vince coming? I was like, oh, I forgot that I said that I would invite him.
Yeah,
and I reached out, and they never responded.
But okay,
boom. she's all about him right now.
All right,
so I'm kind of feeling good that Dad set this up, kind of, but nothing's come to fruition.
Yeah, you know, and I was happy that you had Anastasia on, because And she was excited to be here. She's actually, she listens to the show more than Kent.
Which is to say, at all.
Which,
but
so,
I'm here for, you know.
She does, she listens to several, she might probably will be listening to this show.
Kent's like, I leave it all on the court.
I'm just happy to pass to him. You know, if I can get a, if I can get a dozen assists,
so
it's
Kent
great.
And I
leave a pint of blood on that stage every night.
Kent and I combined for 70 points.
Yeah, that's right.
So, okay, so our sound engineer, Jess. Okay, so Jess, you've been here for a majority of this season at this point. We brought you in.
Which we don't know the parameters of, but go ahead.
Right, yeah, we don't know. That's not my fault. There's a website for the show. Do you know that? Leadingquestionsnow.com.
It's all now. It's all now.
It feels like Calvin is holding a black box and only he knows what's in it. And he's asking, what's your favorite thing in the
season
box?
One, season four started February 27th.
Okay.
All right, so shut up. So Jess, you've been on a few episodes at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that you've, what are some episodes that you're like, oh, I didn't mind being in the room as a sound engineer?
Basically all of them. You don't have crappy topics. It's never a bad conversation.
We're not a wrestling podcast.
Right.
We're not.
You know, to each your own.
Wrestling
awesome.
Podcast.
Wrestling,
seven
have
seven.
Fun with that. I don't WWE. Really watch wrestling, so you know
what my favorite I don't even know if it made the final edit. My
it may have been season two.
What my favorite moment with Jess this season was it on the air, was it off, is
it
when
was
we,
on air it
is
was on
when
air.
We determined that Jess's unsatisfying ex relationship was the most successful relationship in the room.
We were like, yeah, do you live together? She's like, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's uh-huh. like, are you broken up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, uh-huh. Could he date someone else? Oh, hell no.
No.
Y'all ain't broken up.
No. No.
Oh, we are.
Yeah. Well, uh-huh. Whatever.
But just split.
Like
but
do you ever have
I just don't want anybody sometimes. Eating my leftovers. That's
no.
all.
You
know, nobody you know. Does. All right. Nobody does.
You'd rather throw them away than let some homeless person have them.
I mean.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. So what are your thoughts from an episode you were on that you've mulled over since then? Like your thoughts have kind of grown. You're like, that was good, but you continue thinking about it, but we haven't recorded those thoughts in another podcast. And I guess I can go first on that if I look at some of these. The idea, going back to the Being White series, that was kind of interesting in that, and I said this in that series, that white people tend to look at people as individuals, even though they judge groups.
And that was with you on that one.
Yeah, and for me, it was interesting to hear that verbalized, because now when I'm interacting with a lot of white people, I'm looking for that. I'm looking for that in the conversations that I'm having with them, whether it be on Facebook or face-to-face. How do they view people in general? Do they view them as one person? Do they view them as, you know, monolithic groups that are all the same and should be feared or praised or whatever. And so that was kind of, I think that's something that's sticking with me and will probably continue to stick with me. Yeah. So that particular series, stuck out to me, as well. And then also, something that I've mulled over is that not everything I think as a black person applies to only black people. And I don't think that I've ever consciously thought that, but because I focus so much on race in America, specifically about black people, I tend to focus in on that. And we did an episode called Is Black Beautiful? And we talked about colorism. We had Aisha Ghulam on, and she's Indian. And she talked about her experience of colorism as an Indian woman. And I was like, I have no point of reference for it. I mean, there's obviously overlap, but that's a completely different culture, one that I don't interact with on a daily basis. And I look at her and I'm like, my gosh, you're absolutely a gorgeous woman. I couldn't imagine some of the things that Indian men have said to you about your skin color and other people in your culture have said to you. So that kind of expanded my understanding. Am I going to focus on colorism within the Indian culture? No. But it lets me know that what I'm talking about these things, one, it's bigger than what I'm talking about, and two, I need to admit that it, you know, expands to other groups.
Well, yeah, I would say colorism didn't start with the United States. I mean, right now we've created such a barrier between races, between colors, between hues of skin, but that really happened a long, long time ago. Or, you know, it happened between light skin and dark skinned people living in Africa when Anglo-Saxons, Europeans came down, Middle Eastern groups came over to Egypt. You know, they're, you know, the faction started in the BCs. So, you know, that sort of thing, I don't think, you know, and I don't know why it is, but it seems to me that the how light your skin is or how dark your skin is has made you more or less valuable. I don't know exactly when that started, but you know, that's thousands of years old, and we're, you know, unfortunately in America, we're continuing a bad tradition. But it started a long time ago, and we're just unfortunately not really building on history. You know, ideally we look back at what mistakes we've made in the past, we build on that, we make them better. Unfortunately, we repeat a lot of the same mistakes, primarily, I think, because we deny they were a problem in the first place. Yeah. You know?
Let me ask you a quick question, not about that topic exactly, but just to cover a hole in my game, my basketball game. No,
that's why he makes 1 point.
Steals.
He doesn't
1 point.
He's terrible with his – he's got slow hands.
Is it true of Africa – that the further south in Africa you go, the darker the skin tends to be?
False.
That is false?
As far as I know.
Yeah, okay. It would be the further – the further away you are from the equator, the lighter your skin gets, regardless.
But see, I was thinking that Egypt and Morocco tend to have – you know, that their skin is lightening as they get closer to Europe. I thought that the closer you would get to Europe, the lighter the skin
would
be.
Well, see, now,
it's about axial tilt.
Okay.
It's about our distance from the sun.
Well, also colonialism.
Yes, yeah. So some of that is colonialism. So
South Africa is obviously...
different before the Dutch.
And Egypt.
Let's just say the people in Egypt are darker historically, period. Doesn't matter about colonialism. Egyptians are darker than people who live in Italy.
Yeah.
You just are. Now, you have hues of darkness in Italy, but they're darker than people that live in Greenland. Iceland. What's the one that they live in? Greenland is the one
Iceland.
That's ice.
They live in Iceland.
Well, there are people who live in Greenland.
Right.
Well, but, all right. You know, they reverse the names of the two to.
Right. They reverse the names of the two to, like, be a best kept secret.
To be,
I love
like,
that.
Weird, like, off the cap. But yeah.
People who live in Greenland are translucent. They're so white.
They're like White Walkers.
Yes.
Are you familiar with that story that they reversed the names?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they wanted to attract people to Greenland.
Well, they wanted to keep people from one spot.
From, right.
Not the other part.
Yeah. I love that. I that story.
Well, I will say being on this show makes me feel like I need to come out of my bubble of whatever area I feel like I'm specialized in and read more. Because I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so impressed with you guys.
I mean, trust me. The only reason I generally know what the hell I'm talking about on this show is because, like, the week before that particular topic, I went to the social sciences section of Barnes & Noble and I bought some books or I researched it heavily.
And he puts them on Facebook. He puts a stack of 9 books he's reading that week. Like, you are not getting all those books in.
believe it or not, I generally get them done.
Get them done?
Yeah.
By comparison, I bought a book of short stories. It's a novel length book of short stories, and I took it away. I went on vacation last week, and I had a lot of time to read. And of the novel length book of short stories, I read one. So there's that. I wrote a short story. I read a short story roughly 20 pages long.
Oh, awesome.
So that is how much I
read. Seems like you're just overachieving over there, Kent.
Yeah, I'm doing great.
It's doing well. So lessons that you've learned.
Never think that you know everything about a subject until you talk to people who know more about the subject than you. I mean, I think that's an obvious one. I love being on this. So I love being on this particular podcast with people who, A, are academics in that category, but also, B, who are not even close to academics but who live that life. Mm. And I think that there is so much value to be held. And I think the more I know I am exposed to those worlds, I know the better I am. And so, you know, that's kind of a selfish reason I listen or participate in the show, so that I can get myself in position to talk to people who know more about subjects than I know. Mm-hmm. And I'll fully admit that.
I think on the other side of that, the other side of that particular coin is one of the lessons I've learned, maybe not even necessarily from this season, but just by doing this show in general, is to not assume that you know where another person is coming from until you let them talk. I mean, Kent today had an interaction on my wall where a guy assumed where Kent was coming from, and I was like, that's not where Kent's coming from. And Kent's like, yep, that's not where I'm coming from. If you want to have this conversation, we can take it offline, or it's done. Uh-oh. Right? And that seems to be the purview of social media. I'm going to assume everything about you. Now, some people you can. You can smell people from a mile away. I know exactly where you're coming from. You ask that particular question. You use that particular phrase. Oh, race baiting. I know exactly where this is going. I got you pegged. But I can't assume everything else about your life, right? How did you get to using a term like race baiting? How did you get to assuming that addiction is a choice and not a disease? How did you get to these places? And so this show in general, and especially this season, just because I think we got into some dicier topics this particular season, it's taught me not to assume where someone's coming from or what somebody may or may not know, right?
So the whole idea of walking a mile in someone else's moccasins is something that's an old proverb for a reason. I think it's until you understand where someone else is coming from. And I think that's...
Don't judge a man until you've walked a mile in his shoes, because then you're a mile away and you have his shoes.
Yes, right. Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of truth to the idea that until you... Context is everything. I'm sure... Calvin, you went to Rochester?
Yes, Rochester College.
Do you understand that, I mean, the context of any biblical passage is so important and key to understanding what that passage is about? And that's true to everything. That's true to whether we're talking about the Bible, we're talking about history, we're talking about something that's happening in the news today. Unless you know the circumstances which created that situation, you don't understand that situation. But I think a lot of times, a lot of people, we think we know everything because we have a really strong point of view on it. And if I feel really strongly about it, well, then I must know everything about it. I think Stephen Colbert called it truthiness. Mm-hmm. I feel really good about that. So it must be, if I feel really strong about it, that it must be the truth. But until
I have no information that it is true, but it feels true.
Feels true. Yeah, feels really good.
Right, yeah.
But until we understand the context, we've walked a mile in those shoes, those moccasins, until we've seen something from a point of view of another individual, we don't really understand the situation, but we really, even if we feel really strongly about it, we have to understand that emotions are not the best way of understanding a situation. That it takes a lot more than emotion. It takes empathy. It takes context.
Yeah. Calvin could have, Calvin probably learned that in any one of his 9 postgraduate degrees from a number of schools.
I don't know. There's one school I went to that seems to be a mill.
Trump University?
Yes. Could be named that. It really could. I wish I had gone there, because then I'd be off the hook
before
having to pay anything back. But no, I think it's interesting. Schools that I have been to seem like mills for conservative thinking. Whereas on the other side of that, you know, those particular mills are like, oh, don't trust academia, because academia, they're just liberal universities.
Bastion for liberalism.
Yeah, bastions for liberalism. But that's why they exist, as a counter to that. But lessons learned. Kent.
I wasn't prepared. I don't know.
Talisa.
Talisa.
Talisa, lessons learned.
Yeah, come back to me.
I've learned to be way more empathetic. So before I jump to a conclusion or have a particular idea about a particular group of people, I will first at least ask questions and investigate more, try and interact with that person or that group before forming such a hard line position. And I'm way more conservative than I thought, too, because that last...
I'm voting Republican next year.
Well, I'm not going to share when I've made that mistake, but...
not that conservative.
The topic about drug testing. Mm-hmm. I definitely was a lot more conservative post or pre that episode. And, you know, I've definitely had to take a step back and really consider the source and where some of my ideas are formed and question more of the statistics and how they are being skewed to make you feel a certain kind of way.
I think Kent said something to that effect. It wasn't this season. I think it was last season. Mm-hmm. But he said, you know, a year ago we did an episode and I had said this. And then now, like a year later, you look at and you see the company that you're keeping, the other people that hold that idea, and that can kind of I'm bastardizing what you said. But
oh, I know exactly what it was about. I'll tell you what it was.
I forget what it was about. What
it was about and I was going to say, remember when NFL kneeling was in the news?
It's a long time ago.
Every year, 3 years running. I had thought 2 years ago that while I supported in theory at the what Colin Kaepernick, who at that point is still kind of the face of the movement, but while I supported what he was doing, I didn't think it was a good idea
on
9/11 weekend.
Yeah.
And then I came around to the idea that I supported doing it. You know, I can't remember every detail. Now I will be honest. I still don't know that, because we're coming up on 9/11 weekend again, that a kneeling protest, I mean, seeing how it has played out, I still don't know that it is strategically a good idea to do it on patriotic holidays. However, I've come around to kind of a rebellious attitude about it and say it might not be a good idea, but I really appreciate the bravery and commitment it takes to do it.
Okay. So I think that's a good place to take a break for 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, and we'll be back.
This episode of Leading Questions with Calvin Moore is sponsored by Audible. Start a 30-day trial and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500. Audiobooks are a great sidekick for summer activities like hiking, sunbathing on the beach, running, road tripping, enjoying downtime outdoors, and more. Currently, I'm listening to Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America by Ibram X. Kendi. Winner of the 2016 National Book Award, it's great because it helps provide a lot of historical context for ideas that persist to this day. Informative and accessible, this is a must-read for those who want to face the present by being informed by the past. Start your 30-day trial and get your first audiobook for free by going to audible.com/Detroit or by texting Detroit to 500-500.
And we are back from break, so let's...
And you know what it's time for? Goodness. It's time for Kent Takes a Shot.
Oh, what is going... Why is Kent taking a shot?
Is there a snare drum for this?
It's not a free-for-all.
Cheers!
All right, cheers. Cheers.
What are you drinking? It looks like water.
It's vodka.
Okay, why are we doing vodka?
And the reason we're doing vodka today is because I became aware from a massive... I was sent an infographic by a friend of mine who... I don't know where he stole it from, but there was a massive statistical analysis. Like, Steve, you work in the field. What
actuarial
study of what different activities can increase your lifespan
or decrease?
Increase or decrease your lifespan. And apparently, for every first drink you have per day, it increases your lifespan by a half an hour. So I figure, since I'm here once a week and the booze is free, I'm going to get – and I spend 2 hours here.
It's taken us 4 seasons to get to this point.
Yes. So I spend 2 hours here. I may I'll as well get later. 30 minutes of that back. So bottoms up, baby.
All right. Cheers.
All right. Congratulations.
Cheers.
Now that's my second drink.
So
I just went negative an hour.
No, because your first drink was a half – aren't you just balanced out now?
Yeah, it's like I never was here.
It's like you weren't here. Woo! That wasn't...
Let's see if I'm able to read the goodbye for the episode again or if I pass my laptop over to Kent
again. This experience with that shot reminded me, as I imagine every future shot, well, of why I don't drink. That was not pleasurable.
It's like black coffee. It's to be endured, not enjoyed.
Yeah, that's right. It's endured.
Actually, you know what? Really, really hot woman. poured the vodka directly from the bottle into your mouth. Would that be a pleasurable experience for you?
That would be awful.
That'd be awful?
Awful.
Are you?
What do you want
See,
me to?
Remember when we first met and I had questions as to whether you were heterosexual or not?
You had a question.
Right, so here's the music.
I mean, that's really only one question. Yeah, like, are you gay or straight, right?
Okay. Because it doesn't matter how good looking the girl is, if she's pouring alcohol directly on my face, that is not a pleasurable experience.
If she's
experience.
Missing your mouth and
if
hitting
she's
your
missing
eye.
Your mouth. Sure.
That's burns. Really, that stings.
All right.
But see, no. So I know for me, there's alcohol to be endured, but the alcohol I look forward to.
Okay.
I shared with Calvin my love of the 12-year-old Jameson last Thanksgiving, I believe. Uh-huh. Now, that's a drink I think about. There's a couple of different vodkas I also like that I think about ahead of time that I really enjoy.
I know
like
we
could get a really good sponsorship on this show. No. We just kept mentioning something like Tito's vodka seems like a good one.
I like Tito's.
I'm a big fan of Tito's. Tito's seems like it could be.
We are getting
into
this season.
Leading questions with Calvin Moore and Tito's vodka.
Brought to you by Tito's.
I'm drinking like, Tito's right now.
Kent has been co-host for 4 seasons, and all of a sudden Tito's gets high billing.
Let me take a drink of this Tito's first, and then go on.
We are rolling into a season. This is the very end of summer. And so we're rolling into a season that there are two alcoholic drinks that I think I can look forward to. One, hard cider. I like hard cider.
That doesn't even count.
Anything Barely. Apple flavored I'm into. And also.
Okay, I'm with you on that, but ciders don't count.
Okay, fine. But then between about November 15th. And Christmas Eve.
It's whiskey season.
Well, that's for you. Between November 15th and Christmas Eve, I like Bailey's. During
so
a specific period.
Here's the thing, though. I make eggnog every year.
Yep.
About 2 weeks before Christmas.
Well, now.
Now.
Okay.
Because so I make eggnog in mid-December. And then it lasts for a few weeks. I don't believe Kent has ever had my eggnog.
Never.
It is great. And I don't mean to brag on that, but it is fantastic. I make very good eggnog. Kent, I don't think, has ever had any of my eggnog before.
I hate eggnog.
And here's the
reason
why.
I will bring you some of my eggnog, and then I'll let you decide again.
And I will be like, your eggnog is also gross.
So we're gonna test that this Christmas. I'm gonna make you eggnog.
Calvin.
I'm gonna bring you in some eggnog.
I will tell you why. In all honesty, I've never had your eggnog, and it is purely psychological.
You don't like raw eggs. I get that.
Okay, it's not the alcohol content. It's that, and this is purely psychological. I don't like eggs in any form, really. I don't, and so the
Do you
idea.
Like French toast?
What?
You like French toast?
No.
Okay. All right.
Pancakes.
That's fair.
I eat pancakes, I eat omelets, and I drink
okay,
eggnog.
But I'm with Kent on this.
Pancakes are fine.
So his thing is psychological. His thing is psychological because he doesn't like eggs. Yeah. My thing is traumatic childhood memories. I'll give you two reasons why I don't like two things, all right?
Okay.
Number one is eggnog, all right? So I was at a church potluck, and obviously there's no alcohol in this, but maybe that would change my perspective on it, but I was a child, so it sticks with me. So I was a child, and they're like, you got to try this eggnog. It's delicious. It tastes like cinnamon. And I was like, okay, cool.
Nutmeg.
So, sure, okay. Whatever, nutmeg, whatever. My childhood memories are a little fuzzy, all right? So I was a child.
You drank a lot of eggnog.
Yeah, so I remember drinking it and immediately throwing up. Not spitting it out, throwing up, right? And so in my mind, that is my memory around eggnog. The other memory is around black olives because I was a kid and I loved grapes. And I came running into the potluck and I grabbed what I thought were a bowl of grapes and just – crushed them in my mouth, and they were just bitter and nasty and gross.
So
and for a while, that put me off of grapes, put me off dark grapes, which is why I love green grapes to this day. But it also put me off olives forever.
Right. Number one, fair enough on the olive issue. Okay,
I did the same. Give me the olives. He won't give me the eggnog.
Give me the olives.
But my eggnog.
My dad was a deacon, and I remember drinking the grape juice that was left over and getting sick on that. So I understand that. The second thing, though, the eggnog, the store-bought eggnog is like three times as thick. The homemade stuff, all right? So the homemade stuff, Calvin, this Christmas, I am bringing you some eggnog. Homemade eggnog that I will make and you will try.
In a thermos.
And then you will decide at that time whether you hate eggnog.
All right, let me correct what you said.
Oh.
You're going to bring me eggnog.
I'll bring you eggnog.
That's where it breaks down.
I'm going to take the carton and go...
No.
My sink and say, I don't know why you wanted to waste eggnog like this, but I guess it's Christmas, so...
I get peace on earth.
No, you will try my eggnog and you will either say, this is great, or I was wrong about blanketing all eggnog. You know, this is the show.
I'm an eggnogist.
This is the show. I'm an eggnogist. I think you should come out and say, you know what? My preconceived notions about eggnog because of a bad experience I had when I was a child is wrong.
All eggnogs are trying to invade our country.
All eggnogs?
We need to build a wall to keep out all the eggnogs.
That would be an oddly specific wall.
You know what? All eggnogs matter.
And say no eggnog here.
You need to try some eggnog from me.
No.
I will make
Are you saying only eggnogs matter?
Because I will say all eggnogs matter.
I like juice too.
Come back, listeners. Come back.
All right, so we've really done
this. This is really driveway radio.
Coloring. I don't think it's a
blood. We really buried this.
We buried that lead. All right. So here we go.
Thanks for that shot, Kent.
Jesus. I still need to go get some more. I'm gonna ask this question.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be here for the beginning of the answer because I'm gonna go get some whiskey.
Oh.
All right.
What topics do you think we should cover in the future? I'm going to get whiskey.
Well, y'all took my ideas. The first one was going to be about alcohol and what's your favorite drink.
Well, all right, so get into that, though. Why? What alcohols would you like to look at, and why is it important to you?
I feel like there's about a dozen shows on this podcast network centered on alcohol.
So bring it down to one. What's your favorite, and why do you want to talk about it?
Well, 1738 is my favorite. Ooh. And it's smooth and delectable and dark, sort of.
Okay, like I'm back.
Kelvin, that
what
was
topics
alcohol
do you think we should cover?
We don't
Kelvin
even need
is
you.
Also smooth
Kelvin,
and delectable.
We don't even need you. We got this, okay?
We got this.
It's so, alcohol,
so
by
alcohol.
The way.
You want to cover the topic of alcohol?
Well, I mean, you all made me think of it. Yeah, if you were here, I'm like, you stole my topic. But on a serious note, just for where I am in my life, like career changes, that may be a dry topic, but I would like to kind of explore or talk to people, hear from people who have made major career changes and some of the steps that they took that
I can second that
helped them succeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll be covering racism and sexism in HR policies. The week after that, we'll be covering beer. What do you like?
All right, career change. All right, so take a note on that.
All right.
Anything else? What other topics?
All right, so my this is where
I can't really hear you.
This is where I try to I try to differentiate between my interests and what is. So I have found over the past, I don't know whether it's 1 year or 2 years, because I don't know what season. What are you looking at?
What year is it?
Oh, we've just passed the two year mark of us
so
doing the show.
So we're calling it the fourth season.
Right.
So I find that my interests don't always align with what other people are interested in. I love the foreign policy part of politics more than the domestic part, but I fully agree that the domestic part really has more to do with what we do on a daily basis, mm-hmm. more to do with the lives that we lead. I love when you have Professor Saeed Khan on. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic. A professor who's now the chair of political science at Oakland University, Peter Trimbor, is fantastic. If you ever have foreign policy issues, he is as close to an expert on terrorism and foreign policy that you'll find right now. Peter Trimbor, he's fantastic. Those are the things that I think selfishly I love to indulge in.
We've never done an episode about foreign. We've done episodes around it, mm-hmm. around the topic. Mm-hmm. This is an episode that never saw the light of day, where we talked about it was Saeed Khan and Shimon Levy. So Saeed Khan, teaches Muslim studies at Wayne State, and Shimon Levy is an entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur here in the city of Detroit, but also served in the IMF, mm-hmm. right? So,
and Dr. Khan, even beyond Muslim, Middle Eastern culture.
Yeah, and so the two of them talk back and forth. This episode will never see the light of day, but it was recorded right after Donald Trump announced Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and that obviously has to do with foreign policy. Mm-hmm. I think we've done episodes that play around foreign policy issues a little bit, but most of what we focus on has been domestic. Yeah. So I think that would be really good.
I think it would be. I think there's a dimension of foreign policy that first we say, well, okay, so that doesn't really necessarily affect our everyday lives in the same way that Black Lives Matter or education or where our tax dollars are going. And that's fully – I fully admit that. But there is to say that foreign policy isn't affected by domestic opinions, I think would be a false as well. The way that we see the world is through our foreign policy is the United States. And I think that sometimes our foreign policy initiatives sometimes reflect back on us what domestically we believe about the world around us. So, you know, selfishly speaking, because I love the topic, I really, you know, I enjoy the foreign policy. For the most part, the foreign policy subtracts a little bit of some of the partisanship that we have. Not all the time, because obviously partisanship does affect it, but there's a lot of what happens in the world around us that we can at least differentiate between Republicans and Democrats and we'll look at the world around us. One of the things that I really love about the show, and I want to see, not necessarily I don't think is new to what we do, but anything that in that moment is happening right now, right then, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's whether it's Colin Kaepernick, you know, taking a knee or something, anything that's happening right now, I think anytime the show that we do is not static, but it's dynamic, it's changing with the moment, with that what's happening that week, I think is a good thing. And
so,
I know,
so let's talk about that for a minute, because last episode we did the should welfare recipients be drug tested, but the second half of the show was about current event, what's going on in the news. And I vacillate, and I guess I'm just kind of talking this out right now, I guess, but I vacillate on that because I like this. I've had people come on, and when we first started the show, we did 2 hours, but the first hour is one topic, and the second hour was a completely different topic. But by the end of the first hour of whatever topic you were in, people felt like they were just getting into the nitty-gritty of that topic. And so I feel like either we need to bring on a third hour where we talk, which I don't want to do, a third hour where we talk about what's going on currently, or we just do a shit ton of special episodes. Like we've done, Kent and I this season, we did a special episode about the
Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting.
Actually, that was the end of last season. But
really?
Don't know.
Yeah, so it wasn't the end of last season. But either way, we did some special interruptions. You know, we interrupt our regularly scheduled programming for this the next school shooting, right?
Which will start in 2 weeks.
Which will start again in 2 weeks, right?
We've taken the summer off of talking about gun control.
And that's sad. That's sad. I think Kent had to mention to someone, like someone said, we haven't had a school shooting in a few months. And Kent was like, yeah, well, it's summer.
Yeah. You know, that just occurred to me that we haven't had the discussion in 2 months because we've had a summer off of school.
Yep.
Right. And that by the time September starts and we have our first shooting, I don't say if we have, I say when we have.
Sure.
When we have our first shooting, at that point, it'll be too late to talk about it because we're politicizing a hot event and we can't talk about it anymore. But we've taken the summer off.
Yeah. So, But I go back and forth on doing a first hour of the show where we talk about a particular topic and the back end of the show where we do what happened last week or a couple weeks ago. I thought that was fantastic. But I feel like many of the other topics are given to a full 2 hours. So I don't know how to
I don't think 2 hours are enough. I think,
this is why I've said we should do two shows a week.
I love the 2 hours given to a subject because as we've discussed during the Talisa's pissing contest, which she won.
Never gets old.
It never gets old. which we've given to.
I don't know where my trophy is.
Which is like, yes, it does.
So
it does get old, guys.
We gave to drug testing for drug or healthcare recipients, basically of food stamps and basically what we're talking about. I think that while there are 2 hours worth of a lot of those episodes, a third hour is almost necessary to talk about bigger issues than what's happening that day. Because while every Wednesday there is a subject which is super important for that moment in time or that week or that month, there's also a big overlying issue which is happening in the world around us, which just because it's an issue that happens and that is important to, let's say, international policy, that doesn't mean the person who's living in your neighborhood is unaffected by that. We're all affected by what's going on in the world around us. The minute we cut ourselves off, the minute we're kind of separating herself from what's happening around the globe as a whole. So, yeah, 2 hours to me is not enough to really conquer everything, or not even conquer, but to discuss mm-hmm. everything that's happening right now that really affects us. Because there's stuff that's happening in our communities that really affects us. But there's stuff that that's happening globally, too, that is also affecting us. And it feels like, yeah, 2 hours a week, I don't know, some people might be bored by it. But to me, it certainly seems like it's not enough time to talk about everything that's going on that's important to you and to I.
Okay. Kent, topics.
Oddly enough, I was going to say 10 minutes ago that I don't know that I have – I mean, there are specific things that are interesting to me. Like I'm very interested in popular culture. Like I'm interested in theater and I'm interested in movies. But I mean, I don't know what new thing that we could, you know, bring to the table. There's a lot of
right,
– the world is not hurting
I mean,
for discussion.
Here's the deal. I mean, full disclosure to those of you listening, I pretty much put together all these topics. I think there was one time in season one or two where Kent and I sat down at a Barnes & Noble and we kind of brainstormed. But for the most part, it's been me.
Full disclosure, that is a lie. I think of all the topics. And I book all the guests.
Yes,
I
do. But no. So either way.
This is how fake news gets started.
Yeah, anyhow. Yeah. I'm going to memeify you. But that's basically how it works. And so
I booked a guest one time. She didn't show.
I don't think there's anything wrong with you saying, you know, hey, I'm interested in this, because for the most part, this show is an outpouring of things I'm interested in or conversations that I had that I got frustrated with online that I'm like, shit, okay, you think I don't care about feminism? I'm going to do a 2 week series, 3 weeks.
We're going 8 weeks in feminism.
Yeah, we're doing
it. The whole season.
And yep. I'm just going to shut up and listen, right? I think I did an episode. I got reamed out by black women who were telling me that I was not welcome to their conversation. I didn't realize that this was a safe space for black women in this particular conversation online.
Yes.
And I stepped in it. And I was like, you know what? I get it. I hear you. I disagree with you, but I hear you. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you host my show, and I'm going to sit here and be your engineer, and I'm not going to say shit. You invite your friends on, and I will just fucking listen to what you're saying. And that went over really, really, really well.
Because you shut the hell up.
Well, because I shut the hell up, and I listened. But I also but in that episode, they explained how online spaces work for them, mm-hmm. right? And I was like, oh, okay. But if I hadn't stepped in it, that episode wouldn't have happened either.
Yeah.
So, but I also learned as a person who has a privilege of having a space where I can make other people's voices heard, I'm going to give you my space to do this, right? But that came out of something I had stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
So, essentially, it was an interest I had. So I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, hey, I'm interested in this thing, like foreign policy. It's not really on my radar, like most Americans. It just isn't. Like I'm focused on race in America. I'm not focused on the conflict in Syria and how we may or may not have had something to do with creating that whole mess over there, right? Or I don't know. So I want to have on experts for those kind of conversations. Mm-hmm. So Kent, to your point, you weren't trying to make a point, but I don't think there's anything wrong with saying
that happens a lot.
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying I'm interested in theater and movies. All right, well, cool. How does pop culture shape our ideas about the world?
You know, I will say this. I think more people I know have an understanding of Roman history because of Shakespeare's Caesar than any textbook, okay? We all know what A2 Brute means, more likely because of
You too, Brutus? Really, Brutus?
Yes.
Exactly. Come on, Brutus!
Because of what Shakespeare told us instead of what some history book told us. I believe strongly that the culture of groups of people are more likely to be told through fiction and through plays like Julius Caesar than through textbooks. So I will agree with Kent. While I like wonky stuff like foreign policy, fiction really teaches more about history than a lot of textbooks do.
And, you know, I will be the first to admit that for somebody as interested in politics as I am, my knowledge of current events, my knowledge of U.S. history takes place, and I think this is probably true of most people, takes place in bubbles. Like, I felt like from 1773 to 1776 – I felt I had like a pretty good handle on. And then there is a giant black hole until 1861. When the Civil War starts, I know nothing.
You're the historians over here laughing. 1861.
Nothing, or I knew nothing between. Between
he knows nothing of the Louisiana Purchase.
Nothing, nothing. I knew Sacagawea totally was in there. Lewis and Clark. What was I saying? Oh, okay. So now, and so 2 years ago, and this has come up a lot on this show, jokingly, but you know, 2 years ago, I became aware of Hamilton, the musical.
By the way, may I interrupt?
Yes.
Okay. So, several episodes ago, when my daughter was on here, mm-hmm. Anastasia Phelps was on here, and Kent had taken credit for introducing my children to. And I listened to this episode because I listen to episodes I'm not on, unlike Kent.
Yeah.
Right. He had introduced Broadway to my children.
Yeah.
But I'd like to say that I introduced Hamilton to my children.
You did.
And to Kent.
You did.
I did.
You totally took credit for that one.
So just I'm just going to take credit for that one. But go ahead now.
I was aware of the existence of the property first, but you listened to you listened to it first. Like I knew it was a thing. Anyway, so but what that. And, you know, we sometimes think of the fine arts, you know, movies and theater as somewhat fluffy. But what that has done for me is it has filled in. It has filled in large part my knowledge of American history between the signing of the Declaration of Independence until the year 1804.
My 11-year-old is on par with Kent for
exactly.
History at that
and
point
and probably
time.
More. So I will say that between 1804 and 1861, gigantic black hole. I have no knowledge of that, but understanding and appreciating the fine arts can be educational. Somebody just needs to write a critically acclaimed musical about, I don't know, the Jackson administration.
Where is that Rutherford B. Hayes musical? I don't know.
Historians bored over here. How did that happen?
Uh-huh. Kelvin, wake up.
Wait. Okay, so any other topics? Any?
I have another one. Science. Yeah. Is it hurting or helping?
Okay, so here's the deal.
Oh, it's helping.
Here's the deal. Yeah, it's definitely helping.
We're talking into microphones. That's how you know science is helping.
Yeah. I know science. Mars is a place.
Science, you're welcome. All right. Now, we planned a four-week series. We still have the four-week series on the books about science. Mm-hmm. And the guy who has been coming on our show, his name is Dr. Ethan Eagle. He was teaching at Wayne State University. Woo-hoo. And we thought he was still going to be teaching at Wayne State University. And he's been on our show several times. Now he just took a job in Virginia, so he's gone.
Maryland.
Moved
to Maryland.
So he's in Maryland.
Well, it was going to be Virginia. He just announced he moved to Maryland.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he's now teaching in Maryland. But I didn't know. And so I planned this four-week series about science, and Ethan was going to get all these other scientists to come on and talk about science. Oh. And again, a four-week series. And he's like, yeah, I'm moving. And it's like, oh. So he'll be here sometime in September, and he wants to do all four episodes like on one day.
Oh, you mean he's going to be in town?
He's going to be in town. Okay. I don't know if I can stomach 8 hours of that's science.
Or three separate groups of people at least. Yes. You're talking
because it's very dry, and I don't understand it. It's always over my head. It's always over my head because mm-hmm. I'm a history person. But we are going to be doing a series on science. It just won't be on a weekly basis. That entire series may all drop at the same time. I don't know.
So is this going to be more like technical in nature? Because I'm thinking more of like from a philosophical standpoint, like, you know, are we better off with all these advancements?
Well, the interesting thing about like a person like Ethan is he comes in and he is a science person and he speaks very technically, but his passion also shines through where he says, you know, I feel like most of the people who talk about science to the public aren't scientists. Mm-hmm. The scientists do the research and then they put that out there, and then like politicians have to explain science, and the politicians don't understand the science, right? And so my question has always been like, what are your philosophical commitments? You know, how am I supposed to make sense of things if I'm not a science-minded person? Because like we're going to do an episode about creation versus evolution,
mm-hmm.
right? And here's the deal. The creationist is a scientist who is peer-reviewed And the evolutionist is also a scientist who's peer-reviewed, and they're both talking over my head. So I don't know who to believe in this conversation. Mm-hmm. But that is a series, a four-week series that we're planning in the next season as well. I just don't know when that will.
I want credit for that one.
You want credit for it? It's already planned. I even have the graphics already made. You know, I can show you the graphics for it.
You know, I think the point is whether it's geeky, wonky foreign policy stuff, or it's stuff that happens because we want to talk about policing in our communities. As long as we can connect it to people in their everyday lives, it's going to be important. Mm-hmm. You know, whether we're talking about science or philosophy or foreign policy, as long as we can connect it, and Calvin, that falls maybe perhaps on your shoulders, but perhaps it falls on the people who are on the show's shoulders. As long as we can equate that to, hey, this is why you as a person who's right now making lasagna in your kitchen or picking your kids up from school or you're the crossing guard for that school, this is why it matters to you. As long as we can connect the dots, why it's important to everyone, mm-hmm. it will be an important subject matter to the show.
True story. The only person I've ever known who was murdered was my crossing guard in elementary school.
Wow.
That just reminded me.
I feel like we need a whole episode about that.
Yeah, that right, just so took us off.
I've just told you literally everything I know about the story.
So what was the crossing guard's name?
I don't know.
You know, crossing guard murdered. So last her question we'll ask for the evening, and then this will close out the season, I guess. So, a lot of the show has been about people we know being on the show, friends that we know who can be subject matter experts, but more often than not are just informed people with some ideas about a particular topic, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Those have been some good conversations. But I feel like some of the weightiest conversations we've had, one of my favorite ones is still our immigration reform episode, where we had on Sean DeFour, who was the vice president of Samaritas at the time, which is the third largest refugee resettlement organization in the United States. We had on Raquel Garcia, who worked with undocumented workers in Southwest Detroit. We had on Deborah Ruiz, who is married to an undocumented worker who got him legal status, but wanted the borders closed to illegal, not to illegal, to Muslims. And then we had on, what was his name? From the Catholic Network.
Yeah, Michael Voris.
Michael Voris, who worked for a Catholic apostolate and was paying for people to come through into the United States to work for his organization, and they got denied. And so he was like, people should definitely not be coming in illegally if I'm paying and then people not getting in and we're just out that money. So why should these people be able to get in?
But you know, we saw Michael Voris like three times in the span of 2 months, and then I haven't seen him in a year.
Yeah, he just hasn't been back on. All right. But I think he'll be able to be back on in the next these next series. But either way, that was one of the few episodes I feel we've had where it was subject matter experts, people who mm-hmm. had skin in the game for that particular conversation. And I would like to see more of that going forward in this show. So who are some people that you all know, whether it's someone you know personally or someone who's high profile, that you would love to hear on the show, whether here in studio or, hey, I know they're based in New York, but they can call in because we have call-in capability. Steve, you already said Peter Trambor of Oakland University, so obviously, you know, he's in the area, and that's around foreign policy. But who are some people that you think would be good on the show for different topics, and what would the topic be?
Well, Steve just made me think about the idea of policing and law enforcement, because that is a conversation that
we have
I'm
a two-week
starting
series on that coming up, too. Mm. Yes.
Segway.
It's called The Thin Blue Line. That series called Thin Blue Line.
I love it. But I'm having this conversation with like my children and some of their peers and how they view, and even my 2-year-old, like it's crazy. He has this idea about police officers now, you know, he's bad police, good police. So I was thinking that maybe like Chief Craig to talk about how the police are viewed and like some things that they're doing to relate to the community so people have a more positive idea about law enforcement.
You know, first of all, that is a fantastic idea. I really like that idea of kind of bringing that to the local area.
Although, if you're in the Detroit area and you were listening to this podcast, and you have access to the Detroit Police Department, other than getting arrested, please get us in contact because there's no contact information.
They don't have a public information officer?
I have gone through their website extensively. There are no email addresses that are pertinent. Pretty much have to know somebody who knows somebody to get through to anybody there. And so that's the difficulty.
Talisa, you're on it. You want to talk to Jim Craig?
She's on it.
I'll call him after.
That's an assignment. Yes.
I know that he gets his haircut at the same barber that I went to earlier
well,
today.
That means something.
Uh-huh. So he holds some community meetings there at the barbershop, which really? I think is kind of neat. I would love to have him talk about that. But
well, it doesn't sound like he's the hardest person to get a hold of if he hangs out at your barbershop.
In terms of, I mean, he's never been there when I'm there.
Oh,
right?
Accessibility.
So. We're on different schedules. Mm. He's got important things to do. Mm-hmm. I've got a podcast.
All right. So I think there's something to be learned from other people who do something like this. I really enjoy, you're familiar with Stephen Henderson's show on WDET?
Oh, yes. Yes. I've heard the name.
Yeah. I mean, he's fantastic. I would love to get the idea.
It's like Detroit Now or something like that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I would love to get the perspective of somebody who does a show like his on WDET where, you know, 4 days a week he kind of brings in the news the way perhaps people like him might think of it. But every Friday he has an individual who believes something completely different. And it's a great. I think, you know, he's the kind of person that says, here's what I believe, and I'm going to bring in Elbricks Patterson on a Friday, and we're going to talk about, you know, something we completely disagree about. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of – because so right now we are looking at media and journalists as the same thing, and that's wrong, I think. I think, you know, media is trying to sell you something, but journalists are trying to do their best at – sharing information with you, and we're kind of blurring the line between the two. Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually to a detriment of journalists.
Yeah.
who make their kind of what they do with their lives, their livelihood, as sharing information with you. I think Stephen Henderson and people who do what he does, who, you know, at the best of this show, I think what Calvin, what you do is actually that. It's sharing real life stories with people and sharing those kind of experiences with people who may not otherwise experience them. Mm-hmm. And I think personalities like that would be really interesting to hear their point of view on life around here in the Metro Detroit area.
Okay. Yeah. Kent, anybody?
The only name that comes to mind is we touched on him 2 weeks ago very briefly at the end, like in the last minute of the show. And that is there is a he's a candidate. He is the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate, John James. And John James, if we could get him, and we may be able to get him because he is down roughly 15 points in the polls and I would imagine would take any opportunity to do any media, I find young, and he's younger than me, which is super annoying. I find young, black, hardcore conservative Republicans to be absolutely fascinating, and I would love to give them a platform.
As do the rest of us.
Well, absolutely, because yeah. Anyone who believes who's diametrically opposed to everything you believe in, I think, unless they're crazy,
yeah.
I always want to hear where they're coming from.
I don't find 55-year-old white wealthy Republicans to be interesting at all.
Nope.
I find young black Republicans to be interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. I really feel like if I hadn't done a good deal of shit that I did after I was disillusioned with playing by the rules and then decided to break all the rules, I feel like I should have run for office because I was the conservative black Republican for a long, long time.
So that ship has sailed now, right?
That's definitely sailed. Okay. That ship was burned.
No, I found. You know,
I can't get home.
I found being a somewhat,
I'm fucking Cortez right now.
Being a somewhat religious pro-life Democrat, I found on the Democratic side, I was also interesting. compared to some of those.
I thought I was interesting, says Steve. We all think we were.
We all could have been interesting. I don't know.
We all could have been.
There are no small parts, just small actors.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening to Leading Questions with Calvin Moore. Make sure you check out our website, leadingquestionsnow.com, where you can find all of our episodes from this season, the past three seasons.
Whatever season it is right now.
And bios, a calendar of upcoming topics, and even suggest topics for us to talk about. If you're interested in bringing our program out to your college, university, or organization, email us at hello@leadingquestionsnow.com and we'll get back to you. And don't forget, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, and of course, the Podcast Detroit app. Please leave us a review. That's very important. Just be like, man, Calvin sounds so sexy. He's probably got a face for radio, but his voice is golden. Just do that, right?
And Calvin's vamping on the clothes.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. So I'm doing my whole Aretha Franklin.
It's Steve's voice that we really love.
Anyway, shout out to Aretha Franklin. We miss you, sister. But tune in next time as Kent and I invite on a diverse group to discuss religious pain and broken faith. See you next week.